From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Solving a problem like youth homelessness is hard. All around Oregon, elected officials, nonprofits, and business leaders have been dedicating resources, time, and effort toward finding solutions to this challenge for decades. And while some programs succeed, the overall picture of children and young adults without stable housing is still bleak. Perhaps a new way of looking at the problem with fresh eyes has merit. Today on the show, you'll hear about a novel approach called the Deschutes County Civic Assembly on Youth Homelessness, where random citizens are invited to take a seat at the table and join with elected officials and community leaders to brainstorm solutions. Great ideas can come from anyone, and Central Oregon is going to see if that might be the case for youth homelessness. And while in Bend, we'll spend the last part of the show to check in on a major crosstown road project that hopes to create a better experience for cars, bikes, and pedestrians alike. Today on the show, you'll hear how leaders in Deschutes County are inviting average citizens to enter the arena and lend their ideas towards a solution. That's the conversation you'll hear now. Josh Burgess, the executive director of the Central Oregon Civic Action Project, and the City of Bend Mayor Pro Tem Megan Perkins. Thanks to both of you for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah. Josh, I'm going to start with you. You know, why don't you give us an overview of this Civic Assembly on Youth Homelessness? What is it? What are you trying to do?
A civic assembly, or a citizens assembly, as they're also commonly known, is simply a group of people who are selected by random lottery, but are broadly representative of the community, in this case, Deschutes County. Those people will spend significant time together learning and collaborating around a topic, and this will be through facilitated deliberation to find common ground and form collective recommendations for policymakers, decision makers, and the broader community.
Okay. And the topic, the big issue is youth homelessness. Is that correct?
It is. Assemblies like this can cover a wide range of topics, everything from land use to affordable housing to opioid crisis. But in this case, after canvassing the community for well over a year, we chose the topic, which is really impactful in our community, of youth homelessness.
Okay. Mayor Perkins, describe for our audience kind of the problem as it exists in your county. You know, certainly homelessness is a problem throughout the state. Talk about specifically what you're seeing in your neck of the woods.
Sure. I would say that homelessness is the number one topic and issue that I hear about and that continually comes up on surveys and all of the engagement that we do. Right now, we have our latest point in time count tells us that we have about 1,000 homeless in Bend and about 1,800 homeless in Central Oregon region. But what I think is the most sobering statistic for me as a mom of three is that we have 700 children in Deschutes County schools who are homeless. And that is up from about 400 just 2 years ago. These are kids that are often not counted in point in time counts because they are doubled up, maybe in an apartment or couch surfing. And so this is a significant issue in our community. We also have over 130 of those kids are unaccompanied homeless youth. And we also have 100 youth that are between ages 18 and 24, which is a severe undercount. So this is a problem in our community, and I'm so grateful that the Civic Assembly chose youth homelessness as its first topic.
Yeah. Josh, the Civic Assembly. So talk about, you know, this idea of bringing in somewhat randomized, you know, people, ordinary citizens, to come in and work this problem.
The mission of the Central Oregon Civic Action Project is to build bridges, open doors, and create these spaces where everyone can have a seat at the table in creating a vibrant and inclusive community. This idea of deliberative decision making has been around for decades. Our partner, Democracy Next, is a global expert in designing and implementing these. And in hundreds of cases, they've been really shown to improve governance outcomes, to strengthen the social fabric by bringing people together in a space for an extended period of time, and to help create a virtuous cycle of trust between local government and the community. In this case, we sent out over 12,000 invitation letters to random addresses, completely random across the county. And we received hundreds of responses of people volunteering to participate in this process. We've selected 30. They're going to hear in the first couple of days this weekend from a host of subject matter experts, people with lived experience, and government officials on what's been tried, what hasn't. They'll really become quick experts, and then we'll bring them back together for another weekend in October to debate over what they think the priorities should be. These are everyday citizens and local residents, and key to this because of the topic, we've also got two participants who are currently experiencing houselessness. And so we've got a wide variety of folks coming together in this place to debate and make recommendations.
Okay. You know, Mayor Perkins, I'm wondering this, you know, as an elected official, you have access to all sorts of experts in the city, but also all sorts of nonprofits and other organizations that can certainly have an audience with you and talk about the problem. Talk about how this, you know, random group of normal citizens, what do you think that they can provide to you that will help you as a leader, as well as your council, but then also other organizations, other elected officials in central Oregon, you know, have a better view on this problem, and then ultimately, you know, have a better view on potential solutions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say that the one thing that I have experienced since being in office is, no matter how hard we try as elected officials, we work in a silo. And we work in a silo with our government agencies. A lot of the times we have to say, as the city of Bend, hey, we don't do that, talk to the county, or we don't do that, talk to the school district. And we also work in a silo because we hear from the people who can be involved because of economic wealth or the freedom to be able to come to a night meeting or education to understand, you know, the really complex topics that we're talking about, or even where in the city they live, what language they speak, how they can access our meetings. And so I think that this civic assembly is, because of the way that they are chosen, really break that silo down. And then they bring in people who potentially are not normally part of this process and allow them agency to come up with solutions. And when it comes to homelessness, you know, we need all the help that we can get.
Sure, sure. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking with Josh Burgess. He is the executive director of the Central Oregon Civic Action Project. And we're talking to the City of Bend's Mayor Pro Tem, Megan Perkins. We're talking about the Civic Assembly on Youth Homelessness. Josh, I'm also wondering, too, about, you know, you talked about sort of at least this initial round kind of, you know, getting down to 30 participants. Put some context around what they're going to do. Talk about, you know, their role, how it's going to look, the timeline, you know, kind of give us the idea of what these civic engaged normal citizens are going to be as part of this Youth Homelessness Civic Assembly.
This is the really exciting part. We've spent over a year coordinating with the city, of course, the various jurisdictions within the county here. And real quickly, before I get into the very critical, that the City Council in Bend, the Deschutes County Commission, have signed an agreement in advance committing to hearing the recommendations of this assembly and reporting back to the community on whether they'll be implemented. So that's a key prerequisite. And that enabled us to get these volunteers. These 30 people will gather together at OSU Cascades, another one of our key partners in this, the Laboratory for the American Conversation here in Bend. They'll gather here this Saturday and Sunday. The first 2 days are completely built around hearing from subject matter experts. That's the service providers. That's the government officials about what works and what doesn't, what has and what hasn't. We don't expect them to come up with a bunch of brand new ideas. This is about what we know is out there. And then they'll come back here on the 4th, 5th, and 6th of October, gather together once again, to break into small groups, much like a small legislature, and debate on what topics should and shouldn't be potentially prioritized based on the resources available. They're going to be sort of set of guidelines to meet a supermajority consensus of over 80% for any recommendation to reach the final report. And that's important because this is a purely demographic representation of the county. People are going to have to give up their position and learn to compromise on some of these things. And I think it's important that people will be hearing from those with lived experience, which really helps to kind of redefine and set the stage for compromise decisions. And then those reports, that report of recommendations, will be presented to the Youth Action Board, which is actually a group of young people here who work alongside government, who all have some sort of lived experience with homelessness. And they'll be receiving those recommendations and then passing them along to local government.
Okay. Mayor Perkins, you know, obviously, whether it's true or not, there's this, you know, kind of this stereotype that oftentimes, you know, elected officials get entrenched and it's hard to reach compromise and collaboration. I'm wondering, this sounds like a very unique model, and I wanted to get, you know, your perspective, bringing in people who aren't trained in government and politics. Is that perhaps a novel approach to maybe breaking down some of the silos that can help lead to better collaboration? They haven't been taught how to filibuster or to do things that you know, we might see in elected office. Is that perhaps a part of the novel strategy?
I say yes. I think it's a really, really exciting new way of building access to local government. I'm a big believer in shared governance, and you know, sometimes it's you know, budgetary. Help us spend this, you know, $1 million. What is the best way we could spend this $1 million? And sometimes it's direction. You know, for a community, which direction should we go in with this policy? But I think sometimes it's engaging the community a topic that doesn't have one solution, and to be honest, doesn't really ever have a completion date, and that is homelessness. And so I think it's really powerful to uplift people, particularly this group of youth that is going to be the first people to review these recommendations, because these are the people that we're trying to help in the first place.
Yeah. You know, Josh, as we finish up here, I'm going to ask you the last question. And looking at your organization, the Central Oregon Civic Action Project, I want to take the two key words, civic action. What's your hope, your hope for this program, for this civic assembly? What's the action that, if you know, looking back, I don't know, 6 months, a year, you can look back and say, this met my goals because it did X?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, we're really looking to help build on the foundation that already exists here of having a strong civic spirit and having the capacity for people to come together to solve problems. And I think this is going to prove that there really is a new way, an additive way. It's not the only way, it's not a panacea, but a way to bring people together, to build empathy, to build better governance, especially in these divisive times, to bridge the divisions that exist around us. And we're excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. We've been talking with Josh Burgess. He's the executive director of the Central Oregon Civic Action Project. And we've been talking to the City of Bend's Mayor Pro Tem Megan Perkins. They've been talking about this civic assembly on youth homelessness for Deschutes County. Thank you both so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you.
For this last part of the show, you'll hear from a Bend traffic planner about a new road project that hopes to make traveling in the busiest section of town a lot easier. Ryan Oster, the Director of Engineering for the City of Bend, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's seen various reports about this Greenwood Avenue reconstruction project. You know, give us an overview. It sounds like it was a very important and large-scale project for sort of the City of Bend and certainly the downtown area. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a different approach than what the City of Bend has normally done. So Greenwood is one of our few east-west corridors. We have a lot of obstacles here in Bend, whether they be the highway or the rail lines or even the canals in the river that crisscross that generally run north-south. So the east-west connections are really important for us, and Greenwood is one of our more heavily traveled connections here in town. The existing condition that we had on Greenwood was basically two lanes of traffic in each direction. So it was an undercrossing that dove underneath both the rail line and Highway 97 that runs through town here. So we basically had two westbound lanes and two eastbound lanes. And then up above, there were some really small, like four and a half foot wide pedestrian tunnels that, again, were built a long time ago. And those were meant for the peds to be able to navigate this corridor without having to walk in the road. Not a lot of thought, though, was put into future modes of travel. So now we have bikes and e-bikes and a slew of other things that are trying to use this corridor as well. And it's just, it wasn't built to accommodate all the different modes of travel we have today.
Well, and I would think too, and you know, obviously for much of our audience, especially on the western side of the mountains, you know, Bend is certainly a wonderful place that people love to visit, but have seen that it ain't Sleepy Bend of past decades. I mean, obviously, there's a tremendous amount of people who live there, but of course, people who are visiting there. And so I imagine that as a city engineer, it's constantly sort of evaluating the needs of this incredibly fast-growing Central Oregon city, but also having to accommodate, so especially now, I know we're ending summer, but accommodating all the people that visit your city.
Yeah, it is a very dynamic environment for us here. And we kind of have two buckets. We have the growth bucket and things that we need to anticipate and build for to allow people to continue to come to move to Bend full time, but then just maintaining our current system. And so this project kind of fell under that maintaining the current system where we just have an increase in demand on the system. And we need to enhance this Greenwood undercrossing along with a few other partner projects that we're doing. Which includes some future improvements to a Franklin undercrossing. And then the city's also been successful in winning some federal funds. And we're actually going to be building a pedestrian bridge that's meant for ped and bikes that's going to span the parkway and the rail line. So that's in design right now as well. So lots of things getting done now to accommodate the peak tourism season and folks wanting to take advantage of all the multiple days of sunshine we have here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've heard this particular project described as a quick build project. What is that?
So that's a great question. So we still put a lot of time and effort and thought into the public outreach and to the design. But really, when we say quick build, it basically means we got this whole thing done in roughly 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, normally, you know, Bend's also known for our roundabouts. We've got over 50 of them now here in the city. But a roundabout, even when we're going real fast, takes probably about 4 months just because of all the underground work and everything. So we specifically designed this and worked closely with our contractor, K&E Excavating, to try to get this done within a very short window. So minimal impacts to the public, a lot of night work. And really just focused on trying to get this thing done as quickly as possible.
Sure. The old saying, you know, you can't please all the people all the time. And I imagine that there have been, you know, either public comments or people who just contacted the city who might have had some concerns about this construction and the change. You know, how did you go about addressing perhaps some of the public concerns that you might have received?
I mean, it's a tricky path to navigate because, yeah, you're correct. No matter what you do, you're going to have, you know, advocacy groups on one side who love this. You're going to have folks on the other side who think, you know, you're not being very smart. And then a lot of people in the middle. So we held multiple open house events, both online and in person, collected community feedback. And there are some very valid concerns about doing this kind of project by reducing it from 4 travel lanes to 3 and getting rid of a lane in each direction that we needed to address. And so I think one of the things we did as a city here is we acknowledge that we have traffic models. We've got other things that are trying to predict how this is going to work and how it's going to operate in the future. But we really are considering this to be a pilot project. So we're going to be monitoring this very closely over the next year. And if the data comes back and shows us that it takes a car a minute longer than it did before to get from point A to point B, and it hasn't resulted in an increase of use by bikes and peds, then we'll have that discussion with our city council, and maybe we need to consider converting it back.
Okay.
And so we just want to be real flexible, but we do realize there's impacts to the status quo. And so far, though, it's been fortunate. I think we've gotten a lot of really positive feedback. We want to acknowledge that it's different. We had to remove some parking on the north side of Greenwood that some of the businesses over there, were worried about. So I'd, encourage folks to, whether you're visiting Bend or you live in Bend, to continue to frequent the businesses along Greenwood. There's the Cascade Theater Groups is a great local theater agency. There's a couple other stores along there, a wonderful pizza parlor. And hopefully they're a little easier to get to on foot and on bike now, because foot traffic and bike traffic actually often results in higher stop-ins than just a car driving by. So, we acknowledge there's some change here, and we want to be respectful of that. So we're going to keep a close eye on this over the next year.
Well, Ryan Oster, who is the City of Bend Director of Engineering, really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate the reference to one of my favorite old school video games, Frogger. Thanks so much for giving us the deets on what's happening in Bend traffic. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear about how new federal money is making its way to Oregon to make more green energy accessible for more citizens. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.